In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a few days ago, we returned from the holy places, from the Holy Land, Jerusalem. And there we were deemed worthy to see the place where our Lord stood and blessed his disciples, the place where our redemption took place. And lately, I've been reminding the fathers of our holy monastery concerning a beautiful prayer of Saint Isaac. Teach me, O Lord, to understand thy humility. Teach me, O Lord, to understand thy humility, which is an abyss of knowledge. And to be honest with ourselves, we need to realize that we will not be able to fully understand this mystery, the mystery of God's humility, which is so closely linked with his love. Because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And the Son came, was obedient to the Father, he was obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. And now the servants of God follow in this example. The servants of God, having learned something about the humility of Christ, of necessity humble their hearts, because that is the only conclusion, that is the only result of someone who comes to understand the humility of God. It is so remarkable and so moving, there's not much we can say about it. But one thing we can say is we can only understand it through some type of a spiritual insight, through some type of a divine vision. Firstly, we must admit that we do not have this knowledge. Secondly, we ask our Lord, please grant us this knowledge, O Lord. Truly, it is remarkable when this knowledge comes upon people who are living in the world. Rarely will you find such results. We're recently hearing the writings of the Optina elders and the life of St. Ambrose of Milan, and they're very clear about the fact that the safest way is the monastic way, because we are given plenty of opportunities to receive illumination. We are going to church services every day. It's pretty obvious. We don't have the same types of distractions, unless we, of our own accord, invite the distractions to us. Not that in any way one type of person is more worthy than the other type of person, because God judges each person at the level that they're at. No one can really know the judgments of God. Many times, the holy ascetics who lived in the desert were humbled by the fact that God revealed to them that their virtue was like a simple cobbler. And so it is, but these are rare instances. And in the service of St. Philaret to the almsgiver, we hear this once again, that it is a rarity for someone who lives in such distraction, amid such distraction, to become so sanctified. In fact, they are probably even more sanctified because of overcoming greater temptations. And in the life of St. Demetrius, whom we celebrate today, who is the host of our holy feast today, we find a miracle which took place in the city of Thessaloniki. There was a monk, and the monk judged St. Demetrius. He actually judged the saint. He thought, why is it that God has honored this man to such a degree that this myrrh is so miraculous, and that the whole world talks about this person who was a ruler of the people of Thessaloniki? He didn't live in the desert. He was not a deacon. He was not a priest. He was not a bishop. He was not a monk. He was a young man. And according to the tradition, he reposed. He was martyred when he was 36. He was very young. How is it that this man was so glorified? And he had a vision where he found himself at the tomb of the saint, and the myrrh was coming out from the side of the saint. Because St. Demetrius, as we know from his life, lifted up his arm so that he could be pierced by the side, having in remembrance the saving piercing of our Lord. And myrrh was coming out of that blessed side, so much so that the monk was afraid that he would drown because he was filled up to his neck with this myrrh. And he came out of his vision as if asleep, and he was drenched with the myrrh. Why is it that God has glorified this man so much? And who is this man? He was the ruler of the people of Thessaloniki, and there's an unfortunate fact that the life of St. Demetrius was not written down right away. His life was orally discussed for about 100 years, and certain details were written, the basics were written down, but if we were to have all the information, we'd probably have volumes and volumes of things written about him. And actually, we do have plenty of sermons written by great fathers of the church, like St. Gregory Palamas, St. Simeon of Thessalonica, and many other fathers who write concerning the saint. But why would we have so many volumes? Firstly, because he's not just a great martyr, but he was considered an apostle. He taught the people of God. He took advantage of his position as governor, and he preached the truth of Christ, even though it was against the law. Because according to the law, one had to be an idolater. He had to offer sacrifices to the idols, to the demons. And St. Demetrius taught that this was not in accordance with God's law, not in accordance with truth, that we should flee the idols. And his word was so powerful that it penetrated into the hearts and the minds of the faithful, that many, many people converted to the holy Christian faith. He was an apostle. He was a confessor. He confessed the truth of Jesus Christ amidst the pagan society. Certainly, as a ruler of the people, he was considered someone who is much more responsible. But he was fearless, and he preached and he taught. And there's a specific thing which takes place in his life, which is very revealing. Nestor, his beloved friend, went to receive his blessing. The reason why he went to receive his blessing, and where did he go to receive his blessing? He went to receive his blessing when he heard that St. Demetrius was in prison, because he was already taken and he was already judged for being a Christian and for preaching Christianity. So St. Nestor was grieved because in Thessaloniki, there was a man named Laios, who was a very arrogant man, and he was a gladiator, and he was someone who killed many Christians, and people would be entertained by watching him kill the Christians. So St. Nestor was quite concerned about this, and he took it upon himself to go to try to kill this man, to put a stop to the killing of the Christians. But this was a certainly seemingly impossible task, unless one had the faith of David against Goliath, because it was a similar instance. So Nestor could have gone to the local priest, he could have gone to the monastics, he could have gone to the bishop, but he went to Demetrius, a layman, to receive his blessing. And Demetrius, the 36-year-old, was already clairvoyant. He was already prophesying. This shows that this man was not your regular, everyday person. To have come to the gift of clairvoyance and prophecy, living in the world, receiving the honors of the world, and not flinching, because as it says in Psalms, and man, when he is in honor, has become like the beast. He cannot see because he becomes distracted by vainglory. But Saint Demetrius was above all this. Because he had the memory of death, he realized that the glory of this world is truly vain, that all things will pass, and the memory of death is a gift from God. It's not just the act of somebody sitting down and thinking that, well, there will come an end to my life, but something which is much more profound. Certainly it starts with that. One needs to remind oneself over and over that the days are passing. But he understood, as a normal, rational human being who has faith should understand, that there is absolutely no comparison between this short period of life and eternity. But because of the vainglory of the world, because of the distractions of the world, everybody loses sight of that most significant detail. We lose understanding. We are distracted by the world. But he was above this. He was not distracted, and he knew that to die for Christ would be a delight. Why is it that all the martyrs, when we read their lives, we see that they ran towards their martyrdom with such joy, with such assurance in their hearts that they would be saved, because they had already received an assurance. Some of them were assured by angels themselves, some of them just in the heart, some of them by the divine grace, which was so overwhelming. They knew that great things were ahead through this trifling short period of time where they would be martyred. And they knew that there is no comparison. So if somebody has this expectation of the joys of paradise, if somebody has this understanding and remembrance of death, he will be delivered from many evils. As the fathers say, remember your end and you will not sin. So we have become distracted, and now we have to pray that that God will give us the remembrance of death, even as he gave Saint Demetrius. Saint Nestor went to Saint Demetrius because Saint Demetrius was his teacher. He was his guide, he was his example, he was everything to him. And Saint Demetrius said, you will prevail over Laos, but you also will be martyred. He blessed him and he prophesied. And Saint Nestor then went into the stadium. And what did he do? He said, O God of Demetrius, save me. And by saying this prayer, he prevailed over Laos. You know, many of the fathers say that the early Christians, many of the early Christians at least, lived like monastics. And the monastics of the latter days, if they are blessed, will live like those blessed early Christians. For Nestor, Saint Demetrius was his elder, and he understood that in order to connect with Christ, one has to humble himself. He cannot presumptuously just say, it's just me and Christ. That's not how it works, especially for us monastics. Every single one of us has to have the accountability which the church gives us to safeguard us, all of us, including abbots and bishops, which safeguard us from falling into pride. We have our mentors, we have our teachers, we have those whom we look up to. And unfortunately, we do not have such great lights today. But our Lord can work through anyone depending on our faith. Nestor had faith, Nestor prevailed, and Nestor was deemed worthy to receive the crown of martyrdom. It's like saying, God, please help me through the prayers of my spiritual father, which the fathers teach us is a prayer that monastics say. O God of Demetrius, save me, was the powerful prayer of Nestor. Nestor prevailed, and he was deemed worthy, as we said, of the holy martyrdom as well. St. Demetrius continued to preach. Even in the prison, he trampled upon serpents and scorpions. Says in his life that there was a scorpion, and he trampled upon it. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him and assured him and helped him. And during his last days, he then was able to contemplate more deeply the mystery of Christ's dispensation and Christ's love. Another thing, particularly, that we as monastics try to concentrate ourselves on. It's another gift of God, understanding His humility. So what do we do? We need to remember and take a little bit of time to just look at the icon of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and try to soak it in, try to understand, what did He do for us? Why is it that He shed His blood? And the dignity of the blood of the God-man and the dignity of the blood of the martyr is totally different. Why is it that God, who should be worshipped and praised continuously, takes upon Himself our human nature? God, who before the ages was unapproachable in essence, whom the prophets trembled at just by hearing His voice. Why is it that He took upon Himself human flesh and walked among us and hid His divinity in our human flesh? Because of His humility. Why is it that He was born in a cave and in a manger? Because of His humility. Why is it that He walked among us? Because of His humility. Why is it that He was spat upon? Have we finally come to understand something about His humility? Why is it that He accepted rebukes? They laughed at Him, they scorned Him. He did not open His mouth. As a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened He not His mouth. How do we connect with our Lord Jesus Christ when at the smallest little temptation we open our mouth? But St. Demetrius was not like this. He was like Christ. And we are called to become like Christ. How is it that our Lord mounted upon Himself upon the cross and shed His blood? That blood which drenched the earth at His crucifixion, and the earth was sanctified, the earth from whence we were made. For earth art thou, and unto earth shalt thou return. But finally, there comes the resurrection. Finally, there comes the resurrection, and the joy of the resurrection is beyond words. St. Demetrius went through three steps that every Christian needs to take. Step number one, repentance. Repentance and purification. Because a Christian is not a Christian until he starts to recognize not only his unworthiness, but his inability to do anything without Christ. We do not have the motivation that we should have without Christ. It is the Spirit that maketh intercession in you, we read in the Holy Bible. And our Lord teaches us how to pray. Step number one then is repentance. You've heard me say many times that even in the secular world, they say that the first step is you have to admit that you have a problem. So we have the problem of our own sinfulness. We cannot sugarcoat it. We should not lie to ourselves, making ourselves something which we are not. We cannot believe that we are someone whom we are not. And pride makes us believe that we are someone whom we are not. Pride blinds a person by nature. We need great humility to come to vision. And so step number two, through repentance, which purifies us, we come to enlightenment. We then start to see things a little more clearly. We then start to connect with the services of the church. We have nipsis, watchfulness, attentiveness when we are in church. When we hear in church, Lord, have mercy, it makes sense to us. It's not just three words that we say. Kyrieleison. It's not just the two words that we hear. But it has profound significance for us. Because if we are under the mercy of God, we are protected. We are seeking the heavenly kingdom. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in thee. We need to understand the mercy of God. And we need to learn the Jesus Prayer. After illumination comes what we call theosis, deification, divinization, where a person has the ability to become a god by grace. He's totally connected with God. And that was the host of our feast today, the holy, glorious, great martyr Demetrius. When they finally came to kill him, what did he do? He had that saving remembrance of the passion of Jesus Christ. He was given so deeply to understand the humility of God. He lifted up his arm so that he could be pierced in his side, even as our Lord was pierced in his side. And this one particular act is what glorified him to such a great degree. It was not just like a regular martyrdom where someone was going to get his head chopped off, but it was a martyrdom which was so closely linked to the understanding of God's love for mankind, his dispensation for us. He shed his blood for me, I shed my blood for him, was the message of Saint Demetrius. And I don't just shed my blood for him because it's what I need to do, but it's because I love him so much. And the love which Saint Demetrius had in order to give his life to Jesus Christ was also a gift from God. Even the saints are nothing without God. The grace, the holiness that they have comes directly from our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift which they have received. So the remembrance of death and the remembrance of our Lord's saving dispensation are keys for us to receive some type of illumination. Let us look at this example now, this great example of the holy, glorious, great martyr Demetrius, who gave his life also for his flock, for his people. He was an example to them. And from that saving side, from that side that where he lifted up his arm and they pierced him, from that side came the myrrh in such abundance that there was a pool. There was so much myrrh coming from that side that there was a pool, which one can go to Thessaloniki today and see and find, underneath the holy altar. The Church of St. Demetrius in Thessaloniki is the oldest functioning martyrium that exists in the world today. The word martyrium means a church that is built over the spot where someone was martyred. The church was taken over by the Turks for many centuries because of our sins. And finally, in 1912, when that area was liberated from the Ottoman Empire, there was a fire in the city of Thessaloniki, and the church also burned, and the floor caved in. And then they discovered that underneath the holy altar was the spot where the saint was martyred. They found everything underneath the holy altar. They found the prison underneath the holy altar. And the relic which we have here in our monastery was from the vase that they found underneath the holy altar, because the church was consecrated over a clay vessel which contained the blood, the myrrh, and the soil from where the saint was martyred. Usually the consecration takes place, the relics are put in the altar or under the altar table, and that's where they found this. And St. Demetrius continues to work miracles. So he's an apostle, he's a great martyr. We don't know all the details of his martyrdom, but we know some of the details of the martyrdom, the most key important issues, his remembrance of death and his remembrance of Jesus Christ's dispensation and his love for us. So let us pray for enlightenment. Let us pray for illumination. Let us pray for spiritual knowledge. Let us pray that we become wise and rational human beings. We said that any rational human being is going to understand that you need to work a little bit in order to achieve a lot. The comparison of the work that we do here is just beyond compare. There is no comparison with that little bit of work that we do here, that little bit of struggle with those good things which our Lord has promised for us and for those who love Him. And that is for eternity. That is not just for a few more years. That is for eternity. If we had some understanding, we would understand that we need to make the best of this short period of time. We need to think more spiritually. We only have one chance. And this one chance is given to us by God. And there's no way for us to think clearly without God's grace. Now let us love the martyr. He is the host of our feast today. And we should have faith. We should understand that he is here right now in our midst. The holy great martyr is with us. All we have to do is call upon him. So let us call upon him and let us ask him to present one petition at least to our Lord, that he grant unto us, that the Lord grant unto us his mercy. That he grant unto us his mercy. Because if he grants us his mercy, then we will have spiritual knowledge. We will be given salvation. Everything is contained in that word mercy. And that all things go according to his holy will. May our Lord deem us worthy to follow his holy will in all things, that he help us to understand what is best for us, that he will deem us worthy to understand sin for what it is, that he will deem us worthy to understand virtue for what it is, that he will give us spiritual knowledge, that he will give us the remembrance of death, that he will give us the remembrance of his sufferings, that he will give us the understanding of his humility. For if he gives us the understanding of humility, then we will accept with delight the lowliness of our nature. And that's how the prayer of Saint Isaac continues. Deem me worthy to have the understanding of thy humility, so that I may understand the limitations and the lowliness of my own nature. But this nature, which is the clay of the earth, the soil, God wishes to honor and to glorify. Man has great dignity, if only he can see and understand that the dignity only comes from God. O holy, great, glorious, great martyr Demetrius, intercede in our behalf and pray that the Lord will grant unto us his great mercy.